South Park.
Yeah, South Park. That's right. Yes. Well, I did discuss things with Matt Groening in 1976, 77, 78, in 1980,
right.
Before The Simpsons. Remember, I was there with Matt, helping him out of his doldrums.
Yeah.
Life in hell.
Yeah,
Bob was there.
A few weeks ago.
Beg your pardon?
Roxy, I said you brought that up a few weeks ago, knowing that guy. Hey, Roxy.
Yes.
I don't remember the name right now, but it's considered Zappa's, like, magnum opus, and it's really long, and I think there's a lot on the
Civilization Phase 3. Civilization Phase 3.
That has a lot of the Stravinsky type dynamics as well, correct? I've only listened to it once, but and I'm not as well read in composers as you, but there seem to be some similar sort of dynamics and harshness, and he's kind of replaying some of that in that as well.
No, he really knew a lot about contemporary music, and he was quoting many things.
Yeah.
Yes.
In his concerts. So
when you look at that list,
were
Roxy.
Educated and were like, ooh, he's playing Baez and he's playing
he's playing Bolero's Ravel or Ravel's Bolero. Wow, that's incredible.
I love but he played the Bolero ragged style. So we're at the end with the Andre meme, Expanded Man, and then we're remixing everything, and he was really innovative in that he will go where
in the end LaRouche's, you look at the secondary media on my tiny note chart for each quadrant. In the end, LaRouche is a newspaper guy, politically involved and looking at newsworthy journalistic events and scandals. McLuhan in the end is electric media, LPs, radio, TV, entertainment. Thompson, in the end, is a book guy, and Croker, in the end, is a movie guy. But Dobbs is a magazine because he has all media, like the magazine, weekly Time magazine, would cover all areas. So we have everything here, not limited to books, movies, electric media, or newspapers. And then that's what I was, and then in came Ion, who's an expert on every one of those things on all levels, plus stuff we never heard of. So you can really see how Iondom is a culmination of Western culture. Well, I can be that big in my statement. You know, I can be maximum, man. I go Einstein. Maximum state here.
Maximum minimum.
Yeah. And I can be Max Planck small with this is a little fucking three-people audience. This huge universe is coming through an environment of 11 people. Very tiny.
Yeah.
Yes, because we talk for so long.
Yeah. Show never ends.
But I think we can end this first episode of the Spaces Bobby C.
This is phase three.
The Muzak that goes with the media and ecology. And
very nice.
The video of the first song record in space is an astronaut. He record Spaces Bobby T.
Okay, Bobby just T. Before that, this is the alternative fact.
Well, get through awesome. Phase one and
all
two
right,
first.
Right, here's phase one.
The audience sits inside of a big
that's
piano.
That's it. The closing at the end in the big note.
Beg your pardon?
The big notes comes at the very end.
Oh, does it? Yeah, and
yes.
I'm just
after
playing you the opening.
After the space bobby, then we hear the big note. Too.
All right, and I just
to
played you the beginning of civilization.
Of harmonia
mundi.
I'm just
playing you the beginning. It's great. Let's try again. I'm playing the beginning of civilization phase three, okay? That's what I was just playing. It's an hour and 53 minutes long. Have you ever heard all that through, Roxy? Well, we did it. We quoted from it.
Yeah.
We quoted from it. Yes, we did that. I just want to hear a little bit more of this just for a second.
People are going to sit inside of a piano They're going to listen to this piano grow.
They're going to listen to the piano grow.
Listen.
It's going to turn into
another Haight Ashbury. Remember how we commercialized on that scene?
That was a really good move.
Right, Nanny. All it was like people sitting in doorways, freaking out tourists, going, merry-go-round, merry-go-round, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And they called that doing their thing.
Oh, yeah. That's what doing your thing is.
The thing is to put a motor in yourself.
Yo, that's a nice introduction, right? Do 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 do.
It's so cool how Zappa, he makes fun of so many things in a way to point out, you know, kind of the Android meme condition. I think that's a really good effect that he has with his humor and his satire, and it gets people like. And he was always ahead. Like, he was always making fun of this stuff way before everyone else was. And, that's really cool.
Look at this. You know how everybody uses the word freak out now, or for the last 30 years?
Yeah.
He fucking created that word.
Yeah, that's
in 1966.
Cool.
He influenced the language. What?
I'm in.
Amen.
Come on in. You're too low. You're too low, Alyssa.
Oh, my phone does that sometimes. Is it better now?
Hmm.
Oh, man, it's perfect. Now, what were you saying?
I just said frequency.
Frequency,
and
right.
My frequency, frequency. My second thing was, and this has been said multiple times, so it's a little redundant, but it's so cool that Zappa was actually a composer. I didn't know this until talking with you, Bob, and Roxy during and Bert when I started calling in when Ian was on break.
I remember
and,
that.
Yeah, and I didn't ever look into Zappa too much. I was familiar with his work, but more on a contemporary scale. And so going into learning that he was a composer and Varese was such a big deal, I mean, this gets into, Roxy, what you were saying, how he pulled from everything. He pulled from TV, all the stuff. It's been covered multiple times, but for anybody that's listening that doesn't know that Zappa was doing the composing stuff, like, that's a really cool place to go and check out
hidden ground of all these explorations, like the ionic beaming and the Louvre accelerator and the ionic charge particles that create the electromagnetic fields of the planets so that we can hear their music of the spheres.
The hidden ground of this is what ionization
that turned on Zappa into composing is ionization.
Right.
And it's like, how can this be? It cannot be a coincidence. It's really, 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 really the hidden ground of many things.
Well, Roxy, that's what McLuhan, one of his grammarian messages, and maybe Joyce too, was that the language that humans are oozing out, emitting, is talking about all the other media, all the other human activities. So that language is saying ionization. Or the performance of the T-shirt and Zappa wearing it in high school in the 50s and then getting interested in it. That action by the human being is what tactile language is expressing, or total reality is commenting on us. So Joyce would look for words and puns inside phenomena or events that would contain, you know, puns on what the fucking meaning of the event was. You see, the language, media, the total communication by social mortar on human behavior. That's what you eventually get to see.
Yeah.
For example, I'm going to look into Pythagoras. Oh, he was born in Ionia, and one of the guys that reports about him is called Ion. Oh,
Yeah.
It gets incredibly magical how language is a living thing permeated by maybe non-physical that's commenting on humans and what they, well, on their minds maybe, or their memes. It's commenting on what humans collectively are saying about themselves. And the media that says it is making geometric golden meme patterns within the language.
It's really fascinating what's been coming out on the recent paydays about all the ionic bonding and the clusters, like the little tucky clusters that are happening in the new chemistry, and how it's all specifically seems to revolve around this ionic bond versus the covalent bond,
and the resonance just makes the bonding.
Yeah.
And let me
really
just throw it.
Beautiful.
It's my history. The Evergreens, their first booklet the Evergreens made, and they were pretty good in the 70s, was a booklet called Resonance.
Mm.
So they highlighted that word, too. And McClune was highlighting it.
What does Cameron McEwen say about coherence?
Who? Cameron McEwen? What'd you say?
Isn't that the guy you did the... He's a McLuhan scholar. Cameron McEwen or...
Terrence McKenna?
No.
The McEwen guy that you talked with earlier last year.
Oh, Cameron
McEwen.
Oh, yeah, yes. Cameron McEwen. Right. Forgot about him. Yeah, he's a good McLuhan scholar. What did he say?
Well, you're talking about resonance, and it made me think of he had some things about coherence.
Yes.
I feel like that's kind of a cool angle on resonance, but I'm not really familiar with.
You should keep up with his fucking blog. It's incredible.
Yeah.
He keeps adding incredible, and he won't have anything to do with anybody. He doesn't like Eric. I'm the only guy he likes. He knows I'm a serious fucking. That's a big compliment.
He only
acknowledges me.
I love those dialogues, and I checked out his blog a couple times. I haven't kept up with it. But the fact that he got what you're doing and he digs it and he's not like held back by all the other stuff, and he had some interesting things to bounce
very
off
valid
of
point.
You. And cool.
I wanted to say that if you...
Go ahead.
Well, the language showing us... If you look at, and you can probably go online and put in freak out list Zappa, and you will see the 179 names that he says
that
had an influence on him, but please do not hold against him. And it includes people that were anti-Frank. But his albums are all aspects of those names. He covers TV shows, movies, classical people, Dylan, books, everything that's in there, in that list. It's almost the ingredients for his big note that he would gradually elucidate. Look at that list. And he has locals
like
his high school teacher. What?
That shows his explorations.
Yeah, like
yes, his explorations. And he has his high school teacher in there. Another high school teacher made a movie that he did the soundtrack for, Run Home Slow. He probably has Steve Allen on there, the guy who does the bicycle thing on the TV show. It's an incredible inventory of what he was going to develop or embed. He's got childhood friends' names on there. He's got famous actresses, Rosemary Clooney, who I guess is George Clooney's mother. I assume that those go together.
Yeah.
And she
or
was probably Anne, a neat... Right, and she was probably a neat actress that Zappa met in Hollywood at some point, liked her, like a Garrett Dean kind of character. So that look at that list, it's incredible. He's got, figured strange people from movies, monster movies. Okay, so that list is all his ingredients, his periodic table. And then he updated it with whatever people were in his life after that. So that video you sent, Roxy, of him doing the Sprechstimme with the black girls, he looks very interesting as he's standing there, very thin and attentive. I've never seen him like that, so extreme. good image of him.
Yes, it's the modern man odyssey that is. I went to eat a hot dog and then I saw a Hollywood movie. Yes, the choir. And the monsters.
I ate a hot dog. It tasted real good. Then I watched a movie from Hollywood. Wood rhymes with good, right?
Yes, and the monsters are not there. The Medusa, the Cyclops, and the Sirens. It's some monster in a B film.
Yeah, through Nebula.
Yeah, so he's making fun of this Greek drama and the Rhapsode and the cathartic effect. And
it's called cheapness.
Really brilliant. Yeah.
He's making fun at the movie. He enjoys that you can see the string holding up the monster's leg. You know, he's celebrating the B movie faulty effect stuff that you can see. He's celebrating cheapness.
American civilization.
Yeah. Yeah. American civilization, which is a global theater and not necessarily American. Every culture projects its own content into it.
And it was getting into showing beyond just the content. Not trying to make it like a seamless reality, but pointing out the rough edges around that were beyond the screen, perhaps.
Right.
But it's interesting also that America is also the melting pot. It's this mix, remix of everything.
Yeah.
Of all.
Yeah. Fitting its wake. It's fitting its wake, you know, in technology. Here's the thing.
In technology and in DNA and everything.
Right. So after 16,000 hours of ION, it's Cha. Is that you? Who's squeaking their phone? I think it's Cha. I think you tend to squeeze your phone, Cha. It seems to be coming out of your thing. So put a mute on it or speak or something. But you're squeaking your phone. After 16,000 hours of ION, it's this huge poem that he makes and other things. The more you know it, like I do, he is making so many references to the Babasi, my biography, the things, the holy office, the chart. It's incredible. It's on one level a huge pun on the Android meme on the tiny note chart. He's always sticking in stuff on Thompson or Thompson Topics or Zappa Topics or regular TV or The Fringe. It's incredible, the self-referential porridge of Bob's media life. That is a subplot in there.
I told you the other day I was crying because I was reading Nicolas Flamel's own explanation of his the figures, the illustrations of the book of Abraham the Jew.
Yeah,
and
Abraham the Jew.
This is the recipe for like the stone, the elixir of life, and the universal knowledge, but it's also prophecy of the things that are to come in the future. And I can see it very clearly because I had just seen a painting of Frank the First dressed as Mercury and Leonardo, and there is an illustration with Mercury, the John Mercury meeting the old Saturn. And it was just like, I just saw that. And I was so impressed, like, yes! This is because this book by Abraham the Jew was written, they say it was written around the 12th century. And he was already seeing Frank the First and Leonardo in the painting that is in the Louvre of Frank the First. He has the thing on your bottle behind him, the red tapestry.
Now Roxy,
it's really like, oh my God, I'm looking into the Negrito, the Abledo, the Rubedo, and I see all these things. It's really impressive.
And then you start crying. Now, all this talk we were doing 6 months before now, a terrorist event, a guy goes into the fucking Louvre looking for the particle accelerator after we find out about it, and he's doing it because when we were there, it was put in there. Like, look at the xenochrony, the synchronicity of what I'm doing with the colleagues and how it shows up in the news. Now, that's a very interesting new kind of post-tactile composition that's going on.
Mm-hmm, yeah. that shows the effect you have being outside the Android meme. And then it blends in the ion composition as well.
Yeah, it's a composition. It's musical. It's theatrical. The poetry of what we do, and we here at Dobbstown, we're not making any goddamn effort. You guys are doing all the work. I just show up for the get the prize.
I love that.
Which is like Andy Warhol. That's how he did his art, right? He tells the other people to do it. But the it is pretty amazing that... we are talking about the Louvre, and we say, oh, look at this. You can listen to us talking to Ion at the end of the day. Go to Ion and Bob, dot, blah, blah, blah. Nobody goes. Three people go. And all of a sudden, there's a fucking news event that's the climax of what we've been doing for 6 months. Look at the fucking theater playwriting of that. It's fucking amazing.
Yes, and at the end of the video by Professor Sharma, I put the thing you see in the museums now in France, what to do in case of a terrorist attack. That's in the Louvre.
The second last image in the video. The fucking very thing in all the museums. The chart.
Because she's talking about how little man wants to exit.
Oh, yeah.
And so I put that because for me it was sad to see there's like these armed groups, like 10 soldiers walking around everywhere. You cannot keep your luggage anywhere. That doesn't exist anymore because it's too dangerous to
put the luggage
keep
there.
So anywhere. And all these posters with what to do in case of a terrorist attack.
So where'd you put it?
On the video.
Oh,
and then
the sign. Right.
Then that happened. So I was like, oh, the Louvre.
Okay. Now, I walk up to Ms. Sharma, Sarah Sharma, and I begin to tell her about what we're talking about tonight in the details and the xenocracy that happened to us. She barely tolerated hearing the first half. Now, if someone like me came up to me and started to tell me this story, I'd listen. I'm the only fucking guy in the world who would listen to the crackpot talking about how they caused the LaRouve particle accelerator, right? I cannot approach anybody like them, Alex, or anybody in the McCloon list, and start telling them what we actually do here. They can't take it in. That's the difference. You could come up and tell me you're a crackpot fucking xenocrony. I'd listen. We hope the same for you.
That's the pain. You pay attention to the now. So much.
The now. What person is talking to me? And like we would tell Sharma, hey, look at this fucking image in the video at the end of her speech that we put in there, and we put it in there before the terrorist incident, or was no, it was after. You put it in after, Roxy?
No, before.
Yeah, you put the fucking image in there before the incident. And this kind of xenocrony is what McLuhan and Joyce were talking about. McLuhan says about Joyce, he looked for the slips and accidents in language to reveal patterns. You know, the accidental misspoken word or the accidental pun. That's what Joyce looked for and then tried to show it in his writing. So McLuhan looks for that in Joyce. I look for it in the daily news diet. What did I do today? Oh, look at that. Something happened. Oh, look, the market blew up in fucking Berlin. Hope Roxy didn't fucking go there. Oh, look, Roxy was there. Oh, she caused it. Oh, that's nice. Okay. That's the end of Bob goes to the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, Roxy's been involved in two fucking terrorist incidents now over the last couple of weeks. The Berlin market and the Louvre. It begins to look like that Ion is right, that you're on the drop, you start fucking creating universes around you.
It's the fault of Stravinsky. There's a credit front end.
Stravinsky, they all must be very impressed. They must be very happy that I completed the art culture project of the last 2,000 years.
Yeah.
I completed it.
Thank God. As an artist, it's just, I know, Michael, if you're still there, you mentioned that before. It's like being an artist or musician, not knowing you're in the Android meme, doing it for reasons beyond just the love of doing it, which is the only reason to do it. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's just like you guys have completed it, so there's no real need to, like, worry about it and stress out over, like, making anything.
Well, what you do, you mainly make with Payday, make with Ion. Ion
yeah.
is creative enough to make new interesting things all the time. That you don't get bored if you stay in touch with Ion.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
It's like Ion said, in these mystery schools, some people ascend it, like in the Templars, the Freemasons, and Pythagoras
yeah.
school. But when you see the work they have to go through, or the alchemists, it was really like 30 years of really hard work every day
yeah.
to get some insights. Like, it was really,
yeah.
really, really a lifetime
yeah.
that they were really
yeah.
devoted to the things they saw in these clues everywhere. That gave them the inspiration to continue searching and looking for these clues and find the key of matter and attain the three pillars. It was really a lot of work. And now you have the king with the crown, so that's the third pillar in the drops. You just have to
right.
drink it.
Yeah,
yeah,
you just have to take the jet.
Did you, Alyssa, you're on the McLuhan Facebook page, right?
Yeah, but now I'm more interested in the Students of Bob group. Though there's not as many people there, but I've been checking it out here and there. Yeah, when I'm
okay,
interested,
well,
I do.
Did you see Minnie Max's beautiful statements? I made statements on Neil Postman amusing yourself to death and said that's limited, blah, blah, blah. Alex Kuskas complained about me, but Brian said things like this. He said, amusing ourselves to death, which is a 1985 book by Neil Postman, who Don Thiel called an intellectual thug. Amusing ourselves to death is certainly a very relevant, resonant theme of the past election, especially since the celebrated education and entertainment,
mm-hmm.
especially since the celebrated edutainment of the political comedians who helped Obama flipped into a paralyzing disservice. So, you know, the Steve Colbert's, whatever, all those guys, the Hollywood comedians, talk show guys, helped Obama, Bill Mayer, but it flipped into a paralyzing disservice, says Brian, against a candidate many of them begged to run, so talking about Hillary, I assume. I don't think it's Bernie Sanders. Flipped into a paralyzing, all their commentary, they thought the humor, amusing herself to death, turned into a disaster for Hillary Clinton because it turned into a paralyzing disservice against a candidate many of them begged to run and offered their audiences the strongest assurances that Trump couldn't possibly ever actually win. So she takes the plunge.
Right.
Postman's critiques need to be applied across the spectrum or it'll just happen again 4 years from now. So he's saying that Alex and those guys are limiting the application of amusing ourselves to death as a critique. It's too limited, which is what I was saying, and he was supporting it. He also says, let's see.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and then he says it seems really clear that Postman's criticism of the major news media applies to the current major news media. Why is the default Postman take on this election, in other words, the one they should have taken using Postman, not the story of how the media assisted in sidelining a very popular candidate, either Clinton or Bernie, I'm not sure which, who had he means Sanders. How come they're not applying Postman's rules to how the media assisted in sidelining a very popular candidate who had a better chance of defeating Trump. And then he says, and it at least appears as if the how to watch TV news wisdom of media colleges was promoted in a debased form, no doubt, by Trump's campaign and supporters. In other words, the complexity of the election, they're not applying. And then he says, it's at least worth addressing instead of warding off what Bob is saying with insults. So he's saying, you fuckers, just come on here and insult Bob, and you don't look at how he's spreading it at a broader level to the point I say that Trump is the flip of amusing ourselves to death. It's amusing ourselves to life is what Trump is.
Yeah, the Colbert and the Jon Stewart, they didn't flip back enough early enough, you know,
right.
is like one way to look at it. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying there's time or anything like that. But, yeah, you flip it. That's cool. That's like a flip and a spiral at the same time.
Yes.
Saying that Trump is what did you just say? That was so great what you just
He's
said.
He's amusing
Something
ourselves to death. He's amusing ourselves to life.
Yeah. That's so great.
Yeah.
So here's the final Brian thing. He gets mad at those guys, you know, not dealing with what I'm saying. He says...
Yeah, it's so annoying how narrow-minded they are about it.
Right. Well, they're doing it under some people's influence who do not want me to have any effect in there. Brian says, if you don't think it's a useful idea, Bob's Android meme, could you maybe say so in a way that is less completely toxic? At the very least, have the courage... decency, courtesy to spell out who you are referring to, because he says all these followers of me are dupes of me. So then he says, the funny thing is, the Android meme is an anti-narcissistic idea. Bob doesn't say that God or the secret chiefs of the Illuminati are designing the xenocracy of media content. He says it's a recent media environment itself that extends, amputates, simulates, redoubles our innate faculty or talent for synchronicity. So it extends synchronicity, and that it's best to ignore it, or at least, and I say it's best to ignore it, or at least not to identify with it. Then he says, sure, he says it's a symptom of the fact that the fused media have come alive. But if you insist that idea is lunatic fringe, and then he says, despite the supporting McLuhan quotes, that doesn't. Even though you say Bob's thing is lunatic fringe, that doesn't change the lived reality of mutated synchronicity that I and many others, judging by the popularity of synchronicity discussion forums, have experienced. So he's a generation, post-Generation X, born in the 80s, saying, we and my friends fucking had to deal with this weird synchronicity, and none of you adults fucking explained it. So he's saying, that doesn't change the lived reality of mutated synchronicity that I and many others, judging by the popularity of synchronicity discussion forums, have experienced. The Android meme hypothesis has been extremely useful to me in dealing with these experiences in a sane way, and it's one of the ways in which McLuhanese could be crucially useful to young people drowning in smart tech. So it's disappointing enough to see it dismissed without once again being called, being called an uncritical follower. He's saying Brian and Roxy are uncritical followers or surrogates and doing it for no reason at all, and instead of responding to any of the many previous defenses. So, or previous Bob quotes. So it's very well said what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying the young kid synchronicity, and he knows it, and they get into drugs and they get all this. You guys probably had it. And nobody is addressing that.
Oh, that's so well said.
Yeah.
And how audacious of them to go after people like, I don't know if, I haven't seen them go after Roxy. But how audacious to go after people that are actually sane, like eloquent, logical, media ecological statements.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, but that's great that all, I think it's really good that all of this evoked Brian saying that, because that's so well put. Yeah. That's so worth it.
Perfect.
That's really great.
Did anyone respond to him, Bob? Did anyone respond?
He got one like.
I'm going to go like that.
He got one like. You know who that was? Me. I liked it. I liked what he said.
Yeah. I'm going to go like Bob
liked. Roxy, why aren't you in there liking Brian? You should get in there and like it up a few times. But
I'm going to like it right now.
He does three other very in-depth stuff. I can't even fucking read it, about this Trump stuff. He's always been a little overcomplicated, but pretty good thinker. And, you know, he's the guy that he would go to the library and get the McLuhan books out, and then we'd look at the annotations that McLuhan made. So on the chat line today, I said, Brian, he's Minimax on the chat line. I said, I'd like to call you, bring you in. And I implied, I'd like to get him to discuss the McLuhan Facebook page, because he can say things that I can't say. You know, it looks too much ridiculous if I do it. So if we get Brian, in other words, I'm doing what Alex accuses me. I'm bringing in uncritical followers to parrot the party line. But it's more than that. Brian can say stuff I wouldn't even think of saying. You know, he'll be unique in what he does. So I said, why don't you come in and talk to Ion? And he said, well, he wasn't at a phone and he couldn't do it. But I said, what about doing the books at the Robarts? Have you done any lately? He said, Joe, I totally forgot. I haven't been there in months. So we'll get him back soon. If you listen to at Dobbstown.com, listen to the interview with him. He's absurdum something. Absurdum.
Okay.
On the list. He goes into the fucking incredible synchronicity he's had ever since he met me back in 2000 and something.
Oh, cool.
He goes on for hours of all the crazy, strange synchronicities going on. And then it got escalated into Stephen Colbert, and he talked about that in various posts. But he's a good, it's almost like he's a smart, you know, one of the smarter people of his generation who is forced to deal with the Bob reality. Because he's smart enough to notice it.
Yeah. Is he the one that you met in Toronto and you went out to dinner and you guys taped that?
Yeah, that is the guy who used to, Daniel, the guy who talked about City Hall politics, and Brian. Yes, you can see the video. That's a long video of us talking at dinner. Yeah. Yeah, that's Brian and Daniel, somebody.
That's what
remember the kid?
Okay, yeah.
Remember the kid who would call in and he kind of laugh a bit strained? His laughter was strained.
Yeah.
He used to be at the later CKLN. Okay, so look, normally we'd go to bed now, but I got a whole bunch of great Ion I want to play. So are you guys up for that? Can anybody stay around and listen?
Sure.
Yeah, I can stay for the day.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So.
Yay.
Are you able to stay, Roxy, or you got to go? Oh, she's just sent a message. Dropped out again, but I'm
sure. Tucson.
Oh, I'm supposed to play that recording in space.
I was going to say, I was going to bring that up,
Okay, so we'll play, she's been up all night, so she's going to sleep, so she can be back for the morning. Okay, so this is it. Space Oddity, I think that'll be it.
Control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Lock your Soyuz hatch and put your helmet on. ground control to Major Tom.
Okay, this is some actual astronaut singing this. This is the first recording from space, our first broadcast song. All right? That's what's going on here.
8, 7, 6. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, detach from station and may God's love be with you.
Very nice.
Yay!
What?
I was muted because I dropped out.
Right. What's
Zappa. Zappa.
What do I do? What do you want
to play? We can listen to the big note, something from the Civilization Phase number 3.
Okay, Civilization Phase 3. Okay.
Yes, I'm around for the recordings. I just dropped out. That's why I could not talk.
Right. So that's an actual astronaut. Okay. In the content, in the comments, somebody says, "Great video, but this is probably the single most expensive music video ever produced." So it's an actual real astronaut singing, right? So,
yes, it's the first record they made in space, and he chose the space Bobby T.
That's right, space Bobby. That's what you're saying, space oddity, space Bobbity. Yeah,
yes.
The McLuhan Facebook group dropped the B, so it looks like oddity, but we know it says Bobbity. We know that. No, we don't.
I have a quick comment.
Oh. Okay, before you say that, the second comment's interesting. The prospect of an astronaut singing a song about an astronaut dying is an oddity to me.
That kind of leads into my comment. I find it interesting that it's a cover. So obviously this guy has, you know, musical ability. I don't know if he's using
DJ.
Logic or GarageBand or something. He has recording savvy, and yet he chooses a cover, and that is an odd. You can see it from a both and perspective. So one way of looking at it is that it's a remix, which is this cool sort of Finnegan's Wake approach. But the other side of it is that it's kind of Android mimic, that it's a replay of something already done. Instead of like, Michael, you made an original song, Talk to Bob, Talk to Anna, Talk to Carolyn. You know, that's a more like showing up version of actually, you know, if he were to be up there and have sort of an original musical expression, that would be even better from my point of view. But I do see how cool it is, you know, that it's that it is what it is, and it's a cool remix as well. But maybe someone will make an original piece of music in space someday.
Right. As someone says, I think they're saying this is not about an astronaut dying. This is not this version. This version is about an astronaut returning to Earth after being in space. Chris's son, somebody's son, changed the lyrics to be about his experience aboard the ISS. So I guess
that's a little originality. Yeah, sure.
Okay. It says,
just
somebody says, well, I didn't expect... someone says, I didn't expect him to have such a voice. I'm pleasantly surprised. Someone else says, I think that's supposed to sound like he's talking over the radio. So somebody says, people believe Earth is flat in 2016. I will just leave that here. This poor guy doesn't understand how fucking ideas are a result of changing environments, and it turns out the Earth is fucking flat, according to the latest god that I invented, known as Ion. Go ahead and tell somebody that one.
It's a yarmulke, he says.
The yarmulke.
Yeah.
What about the yarmulke?
That's what Ion says, the shape is a yarmulke.
Right, right. When we played Stravinsky, and then I played Doris Troy doing Just One Glance or whatever, Just One Look, you guys erupted in joy and singing. It was a genuine release, right?
Yeah.
That's a release.
A release. Yeah.
And this video, Space Oddity, 34.5 million views.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous when they could use portals. Why they have poor people are put at risk having to protect, you know,
Because that's the Nazis doing NASA.
Sorry?
The Nazis cannot use portals. Ion told us.
Oh,
something
sorry,
like that.
I didn't know. Yes.
And because of the paperclip, most of the founders of NASA were Nazis.
Well,
Nazis who created the place at portal.
But Ion did say when I first came on the show, and I asked him about that space station that star that's being built just off the Earth for the last 30 years. And I said, beam me up, Scotty, is that how they got there? And he said, yes. And that's being used by military contractors and people from all over the world. So it doesn't actually apply in that case. They are using portals.
Well, you
I
have
would
to ask
imagine.
A little bit more detail. A little bit about
yes.
really get them to clarify that. Because
yes.
the Nazis can't portal, but, you know, some college student might be able to. Someone who wasn't a Nazi could do it. Yeah, he doesn't
I hear
nobody
you.
Can
yes,
do it there.
It's confusing me, I must say.
No, it isn't.
Because I used to watch on NASA thing all the satellite, the spaceships being launched to go up to the ISS, and they were so brave. I mean,
well,
they come down head first about in a gradient of 1 in 10 at a huge speed, far more than a commercial aircraft, and they're so brave, those guys. God.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Many say there's the secret space program that we don't really know anything about, and these sort of obsolete technology using explosion combustibles, how do you say it? Oil, when we have cold fusion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, nobody will go into space with such a type of energy.
I was going to ask Guy on what the populations were on Mars, and I forgot because I've done some driving this week and I couldn't write when I was driving. But, yes, I was going to ask him what the human populations are on those planets, some of the planets, cause, and then ask, perhaps someone else could ask how they got there. Was it, you know, by a portal?
Okay, because,
sorry,
not just
I didn't
our
mean
world.
To put a sidebar
hey,
across our
stop
topic.
Apologize. I don't want to hear any more apologies from you. Don't apologize. We don't want any apologies.
Yeah.
You don't have
okay.
to be nice.
Yep.
The when you ask Ian about the number of people, you have to say which world has which population, because he's going to
yes.
look at multi-worlds on Mars or Mars being part of multi-worlds. It's not going to be just our physical situation in our realm.
Yeah, thank you.
You really have to explore all kinds of angles on any topic with Ion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cut and dried answer.
Mm, and it varies depending, even I'm beginning to see it varies depending on who's asking him.
Yep.
And
okay,
they call
so,
that name your own shame.
What'd you say?
I said, and they call that doing their own thing.
mm-hmm. Do, do, do. Is that mm-hmm. Nate saying that?
yep.
Mm.
We give credit to Nate for that joke.
do, joke.
Yeah. So, Nate, you were sincere on Tuesday saying you really were influenced by Payday for your new musical concept, right? You meant that.
No, that's all. That was all a lie.
Yeah, I figured you would say that now. See? You're like Ion. You're like Ion, mate.
No, of course, yeah. Yeah. I'm making music in space.
Yeah. In spaces, plural.
Spaceship
yeah,
Earth, Yarmulke Earth.
Yeah. That's such a cool point. Like your original Ionic music is doesn't even need to go up in space to space station.
It's in different
yeah,
spaces.
Yeah, we're already in space, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would never go on one of those things. Well, that's general, but I'm not inclined to go. It's boring to be
yeah.
stuck in one place. That'd be horrible.
I think it'd be cool to see Earth. visual bias, but that'd be kind of an interesting experience.
I've seen footage. Nothing better. The footage is better.
There you go. There you go. Chip body. Wow. Chip body does it for you.
Memorex. The Memorex is better.
And the Forsling sleep happily ever after, exploring the space.
I've been having these increased experiences where my dreams are. I'm starting to remember them as if they were real and not the dream. It's like this weird slippage that's happening, and it's whoa. But you talk about Memorex, Nate. That made me think of it.
Yeah, it's interesting what happens to your perspective on your day-to-day when you legitimize your dreams as something you're actually going and doing as well. It turns your day-to-day regular life into a dream.
Yeah.
Kind of equalizes everything.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to play. There's no cut on Civilization Phase 3 that says the big note on the title, but there is Dio Fa, which means God lies. Should we play that one?
Well, anything just to like close with Sapa.
Right.
All this Odyssey.
Okay. I'll play a bit of this. It's too long to play it all, but and then maybe find some audio one. Okay, here we go.
I think I can explain about how the pig's music works.
Well, this should be interesting.
Remember that they make music with a very dense light.
Yeah.
Okay.
And remember about the smoke standing still and how they really get uptight when you try to move the smoke, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think the music and that dense light is probably what makes the smoke stand still. As soon as the pony's mane starts to get good in the back, any sort of motion, especially of a smoke or gas, begins to make the ends split.
Well, don't the splitting ends change the density of the pony's music so it affects the density of the pig's music, which makes the smoke move, which upsets the pigs?
No, it isn't like that.
Well, how does it work?
Well, what it does is when it strikes any sort of energy field, a solid object, or even something that's ephemeral as smoke, the first thing it does is begins to inactivate the molecular motion so that it slows down and finally stops. That's where the smoke stops. And also, have you ever noticed how the smoke clouds shrink up? That's because the molecules come closer together. The cold light makes it get so small. This is really brittle smoke.
And that's why the pigs don't want you to touch it.
See, when the smoke gets that brittle, what happens when you try to move it is it disintegrates.
And the pigs get uptight because you know they worship that smoke. They salute it every day.
You know, we've got
And that's the basis of all their nationalism. Like, if they can't salute the smoke every morning when they get up.
Yeah, it's a vicious circle. You got...
get on each pony or
sure,
boogeyman or something.
Sure, glad I'm not too hairy.
Yeah.
Too hairy.
Yes.
I had a lot of crabs.
Yes.
A lot of crabs.
Crabs are really dangerous. And they're really vicious spiders. Every once in a while you walk in the streets, and when I heard at least from talk from my home here, my piano.
My piano. It's still dark in here. It's the same as it ever was. I'm here. I'm not the same as I ever was. Either you're here and I'm here, or I'm very different, Ben.
Now, wait a minute. Those are my bass strings. I get the bass strings. If there are going to be three of us here, I want the bass strings. That's
who
all
are you?
I live here.
I? Who are you?
I live here.
I live here?
That's my name, too. Were you ever not living here?
I don't think so.
No, I was in the drum.
Okay, well, in with that. Those little...
Well, he was like Pythagoras. He asked, were you ever not living here? Like, you have always been in this hologram, in this light, sustained by frequencies.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.